Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get up, get up, get up. It's a Get Up Show.
It wasn't that at all. Hey, welcome everyone. Welcome to the Simon Says podcast. We're so excited to be doing the last one of the dang year. Can you believe it's the last one of the year?
This is crazy.
Wow.
I know. You know, nobody thinks about the end of the year except for us. You know, we're acting like what? We've just discovered this. It's the end of the year.
Surprised.
It's the 50th Simon Says podcast. Be sure that you subscribe and like and do all those things. I'm Sean, and Charlie and Maddie are over there.
Hello.
Actually, bro, it's only 49.
Oh shoot. Man. Well, just don't do one.
No. Okay.
You were trying to do that whole 50 at the end of the year thing, and it's not going to happen.
Sorry. I was trying to read this word that I wrote down in my notes, like something we should talk about on the podcast. And I was like, tube stone, tob sting,
tombstone pizza,
tube stove. What is this word? Toby Chu, Tammy Fong. I couldn't figure it out. And then I realized what it was. It's the story of toasting. You know how we raise a glass.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
We raise a glass on New Year's, you know, whether it be your champagne jello shot that hasn't fully set up so it's a little bit loose.
Yeah.
Or if it's just some sparkling grape juice, whatever it is.
Let's just stick to real champagne. Can we do that?
I can't drink that stuff, man. For a number of reasons.
Bubbles give me headaches.
It gives me a headache. And I got banned from drinking champagne.
You're not supposed to drink the whole bottle.
It's not a single serving?
That's not a serving size?
One for you and one for you? And no.
The last time I had any amount of champagne, I was in D.C. and I got left because I was not being good. And I was out.
Oh, is that the sushi restaurant story?
Oh, God, no. Don't even bring that up.
Oh, sorry.
He has others.
Ooh, wait. The sushi restaurant story is for another time. Ooh-wee. Man. No, but this was the New Year's Eve story. So there was a lot of champagne, and we were at this place. I think it was called Portner's. You remember Portner's up in D.C.?
No, I don't.
Anyway, we were at Portner's, and the party was in full swing, and apparently so was I. And the next thing you know, a portion of my group left, and I was like, hey, where's and they're like, oh, she left. What? And so I pouted for a minute, and then I decided, you know what? I'm going to walk home. Yeah. And it was a long walk home.
It always is.
But it seems like it's just a block. It'll be fine.
Oh, no. It was walking under protest, under drunk protest.
Yeah.
And so I walk and I walk and I walk and I walk and I walk. And I lived in a gated community way out on the edge of Old Town Alexandria. And when I got to the edge of the community there and I saw the gates, I figured, well, this is close enough, and I climbed the gate. And the only reason I know that that's what I did is because I woke up the next morning with ripped pants.
Yeah,
woke up across my bed with my shoes on. Mm-hmm. But
you made it.
Yeah.
Did he, though?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was my last champagne.
That's funny. New Year's Eve is often a lot of those. Like, I feel like it's not even just the champagne part, but I know I had one where my friends, my friends got married on New Year's Eve, and we ended up at another bar after midnight, which was always a bad idea because you can never find – it was back when there was no Uber. It was just like you had to count on the one cab company in Greensboro.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
And just forget it. Like they, and they know it too because you'd be calling them. They'd be like, yeah, we'll come get you.
Tomorrow.
And then I did that reasonable thing of like, I'll just walk home. And I was wearing like a full suit and, you know, dress shoes, and I just looked like the most dapper hobo because I was staggering.
It's always way further than you think, and it's always colder than you think it's going to be, too.
So the story of toasting, there's a legend going around, and maybe you've heard it, that toasting originally came about as a way to avoid being poisoned in your drink.
Right.
The people would raise the glass so they could look for sediment floating around in the bottom of that.
Oh, that, see, that was it. Because I read it as to get the other person to drink with you.
Like, but if your glass has been, you don't trade glasses.
No.
Don't I?
Unless you're the Three Stooges and you say, look at that painting over there.
Right. Oh, look at this. Elvis just walked in. Hey.
Oh, boy. Wow. Where?
Pretty Bird.
But yeah, they said the legend goes that it was so you could look for sediment in the bottom of a clear glass. That after pouring each person wine, the host would drink a portion, demonstrating that it wasn't poisoned. If the guests trusted the host, they'd drink a glass with the host instead of offering their draft for tasting. The clinking or toasting developed into a symbol of honesty, truth, and good health. So they're basically busting the myth that no, it wasn't.
Oh,
it was not originally a way to avoid poisoning. That was made up.
That's super neat though. That if you, I like to hang out with people that I think might poison me at any second. I think that adds a little spice into my life.
What if you're like, oh, wait a minute, I can't really tell if there's sediment. Just, you know, I'm looking. They're like, what are you doing? I'm just looking at my drink.
Well, you guys know, especially you, Charlie, you're a wine person. Some wines do have a little bit of stuff in it.
Sure. Yeah.
What's that called? Tannins? The little bit of stuff that's in there?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you get a nice kombucha toast, I mean, forget it. There's a whole lot of things in there.
And if you're bad at opening, it could just be some cork.
Oh, God. That's true,
too.
Power through.
A Mickey's Big Mouth has a good bit of sediment in it,
ew.
And I have no idea what that stuff is.
I've never looked in
there.
It's
beer. It's terrible, beer.
It's a malt ale. I think it's liquor.
I know it's a malt liquor. I know what the drink is, but what's that stuff floating down in the bottom of it? Why is there sediment in a Mickey's Big Mouth? No one really knows.
It's many
occasions. Yeah, Mickey's in there. There's a little bit of Mickey in every bottle.
Ah, thanks, fella.
Gross. Speaking of wine, this is crazy. There was a big bust. French police recovered $6 million in stolen wine. That $6 million, you think that's got to be like at least a million bottles of wine, right? $6 bottles of wine, right?
Right. Yeah, sure.
Is this French wine? It could be expensive stuff.
900 bottles of wine for $6 million.
God.
Isn't that crazy?
That's insane to me that there's people out there with that much disposable income that they can go to a restaurant and see those bottles of wine. Remember that story about how there was it's like two businessmen got like the most expensive bottle of wine on the menu, and the waiter opened it and accidentally brought it to this couple instead, and then they were trying to decide what to do, but best is that the businessmen, I think, were drinking the other bottle of wine and were like, no, this is so good. Like, can you really tell? Or is that just a flex?
Wine snobs that I know say that you can't tell a difference until you get over $600 a bottle. But I think they're just flexing, you know? They don't know.
Well, we will never know.
Oh, yeah. No, there's
whether they're telling the truth or not.
The only way I'm going to find out is if it's an accidental pour that I get, because I'm not ordering that on purpose.
Bottle of wine that someone gave me for my birthday last year that is around $75, $50 to $75 bottle, and I still haven't opened it. I'm scared.
Listen to this. Some of the ones that were in the heist in the $6 million worth of wine that they recovered were like a Chateau Margaux, which could be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars in a single bottle.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Can you imagine, like Maddie said, having enough money where you could spend $100,000 on a bottle of something that you can't keep. You're going to drink that.
If no one told you, if someone just handed you a glass of wine and did not tell you that it was Apothic Red for $10 or a $100,000 bottle, I really wonder if you would be like, oh my God, this is heavenly. Or if you'd just be like, okay, good wine.
But yeah. Do you think if you fall on hard times, like, could I walk into a car dealership? Could I, you know, walk into Flo Volkswagen and be like, can I trade you this bottle of wine for this jet over here?
No, you'd have to fence it somewhere. You'd have to find somebody who knew what they were doing to give you, like, let's say you got a $100,000 bottle of wine that you got from somewhere.
Yeah.
Let's say you won it in a sword fight.
Right, and, obviously.
And, yeah, let's say you won it in a sword fight, and the other guy had one eye, and there was a lot of stuff going on. His dog was barking, and he looked, and when he looked, you won the sword fight, and you won the $100,000 bottle of wine. Let's just say that's how it happened.
Yeah, hypothetically, got it.
Yeah, and you left through the window with your bottle of wine. Let's just say that's how it all went down.
Sure.
Was anyone wearing pantaloons?
They all were.
Yeah.
Good.
Duh.
So then you've got a $100,000 bottle of wine, and you would like to turn your $100,000 bottle of wine into a new Jetta, is what you say, right?
Sure.
Okay, so.
Because that's timely with my pantaloons.
Yeah. So you've got a $100,000 bottle of wine, but
really
you need to turn that into money. So you find someone who deals in high-end wine. They're not going to give you $100,000 for your $100,000 bottle of wine. They're going to say, I will give you $20,000 for that bottle of wine if that'll help you out.
Yeah.
No.
I ran into that a lot with my jewel pawning and thievery when I had robbed that bank and got all those diamonds.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I mean, these are worth like $6 million. And the guy's like, I'll give you $100,000.
And if that'll help you out.
I'm like, God.
It will not help me out.
Listen, Mr. Zales, come on.
Although, if all you wanted was a Jetta, it would help you out because you don't need $100,000.
I set the bar high.
Yeah. So you guys, over the years, many, many, many times have called me out for being the king of all spoilers because I do like to learn the ends of shows and movies and then back into it.
I'm still mad at you about Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, well, that was a waterfall effect because then you did it to me. But
I didn't know. But Maddie has spoiled the Wonder Woman 84 for everyone in the world. I saw on Christmas Day, he posted up the entire spoiler of Wonder Woman 84. And I was like, what? What is he doing? I'm not going to say what he said because you must have been drunk. I couldn't believe you did that. I was like, I couldn't wait to watch Gal Gadot get in her little mini skirt and save the world, and now I don't have to because you ruined it for me and all the kids.
Look, A, I don't have a lot of followers on Facebook, so I'm not really worried about that. And two, you're welcome.
How do you know that he wasn't just singing that Christina Aguilera song?
See, now you just did it. You just ruined it for everybody else. Good job.
No, she was talking about Dirty or whatever.
Fighter.
Oh, the one about the candy man, the panty drop song. I love that song. Ooh, and that video where it's her with red hair. Ooh.
The one where she was boxing and she had she looked all greasy and dirty.
Ooh, I don't like that one. No, I don't like that one.
No, look, I had to get it out there and the funny thing is that since then I've been trying to get my kid to watch it and she won't watch it. And I'm like, listen.
Because you're doing that thing. It's like, this tastes awful. Here, try this.
Yeah, but a lot of times you still try it.
And then,
seriously, every time someone
makes me do this?
Yeah, every time anyone has ever said to you, this smells awful, smell it, you generally do.
You do. Like,
I don't anymore.
You don't?
No.
Oh, I still do.
Look, I'm too old for that mess.
I mean, people are going to see the movie because they got to make their own decisions, first of all. What movie was it? There was something that everybody was panning, and I actually really liked. So, I mean, you got to check it out. Maybe it's your thing.
Was it Dude, Where's My Car? Because I love that one. I love that movie.
Spoiler alert, they found it.
Did they? I don't remember that.
No, I don't remember.
What?
I don't think they did.
No, look, I was trying to be as veiled as possible. I was
you
not
weren't.
Drunk. I still was blown away as every minute passed in that movie that I'm like, so this is what they were all excited about?
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to watch it because I saw the first one and I was really underwhelmed.
I told Maddie the same thing. I didn't think it was as amazing as some other superhero movies. But what I want to know is, was that thing that you sent out in your spoiler, was it Robin Williams or Will Smith?
Oh, God. See, you're doing it. Stop. Just stop.
Yeah,
is there an even worse version out there? Is it like the sequel that they did straight to video where they used somebody who was like a bad voice actor kind of doing an impersonation? Like, that's the best thing I could say. And it's funny because I've seen now a couple people like commenting every time like HBO Max posts up about it. And it's usually the same sentiment, you know, like everyone's about on the same page as me. But you know, I would love to hear someone. Look, if you honestly watched it, and this is true, if you honestly watched it and loved it, good for you. I'm glad that you got enjoyment out of that. I'm just glad I didn't have to pay any extra.
Okay.
Was it Barbara Eden?
Stop. Have you guys noticed this thing? And I don't know if you guys, I guess it happens on the news a lot. And to be someone who literally hates the news cycle because of bad news, and I internalize and I get depressed and, you know, I hate that. But I watch a lot of the news and I watch the people, like they have an expert on and they ask, so what do you do about this? And when they ask the question, they set them up. Let's just say you get a package and you want to open it safely, what do you do? And so the expert then goes, yeah, so you're going to want to bip, 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 bip. And then the next question is, when you're wrapping your own package and you want it to stay secure, what do you do? And the expert says, yeah, so you're going to want to... Every single response starts with yeah, so, and it
or sure, so
yes, blah, 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 blah. Yes, those things. It drives me crazy. And I was yelling at the TV, and my daughter was sitting there, and I was like, watch, she's gonna do it again. Watch this next question. And the question goes, and then the expert goes, yeah, so
Can I guess what you were watching and what channel and what time?
No, it wasn't.
Because I have a certain time slot where I do a lot of yelling at the TV.
It wasn't. It was headline news. And I'm yelling at it.
Okay.
I'm yelling at it and I'm yelling at it. And my daughter goes, you just don't understand the younger generation.
Well, that's not always younger people. No, because, I mean, a lot of the people that I interview for the community affairs program, it's a crutch. It's a way to think while still like letting words out. And I actually, they can't do it on live TV, but I actually edit that out a lot to clean it up. Yeah.
Good for you. But the thing is, I don't think you're wrong, but the thing about those segments is they do a whole lot of setup on that. They know what the questions are going to be. They know their answers are going to be. So the whole yes, so, and sure, yeah, you know, that whole thing, man, that whole crutchy thing just drives me nuts.
Yeah. And just answer.
Yeah. And at the end, they do that at the beginning. And then at the end, it's always, all right. That's their reset at the end of everything. It's a yes, so at the beginning and an all right at the end. And yeah, I don't know. Am I the only one that this drives me so crazy that I want to come out of my skin?
Oh, I notice that a lot. But do we notice it so much because we're radio people? Because I notice ums and crutches like that, the yeah, so, and sure, so, blah, blah, blah thing. I mean, I notice those a lot.
Well, I would like to thank you for now the fact that every time I watch it, I'm going to be watching for it. I know that
you won't be able to unhear it.
Yeah. I've already noticed that a little bit on saying, you know, my biggest pet peeve right now is the over dramatic talk. There's a guy on the CBS Night News, the Night News. He did some story on COVID and it was kind of a bummer story. And I get it, but he really dug in like, and then the parents never saw their children
again.
Yeah.
Like, did that, like, that real, like.
Are you narrating Forensic Files here? What's happening?
He leaned into it hard, and they were like, sad story. Next up on the news, a kitty that plays piano.
Well, some of that is drama, and some of that is time. You know, some they have a certain amount of seconds to fill. They have to fill those seconds.
Oh, well, that was just, I thought it was fantastic, because he was just, I mean, really aggressive.
All right, we talked about too much champagne and walking home, but think back on New Year's Eve's. Did you ever had one that was just fantastic, like, this was the best party. This is what New Year's Eve is supposed to be. This was just great. Because my feeling on New Year's Eve has always been, it's built up. You watch them on the dang Dick Clark, and they're like what's her face? Jenny McCarthy is talking about, this is so much fun.
Those people are peeing on themselves because they've been standing there so long.
Oh, yeah. Nothing about Times Square looks awesome. It looks freezing cold. You're right. You can't lose your spot. So there's bottles everywhere.
So what's the best? And I used to have friends from Henderson who used to go to Times Square for New Year's Eve. And I was like, you guys are out of your mind. So what was your best New Year's Eve ever, Charlie?
I will agree with you that it seems like a whole lot of buildup. What are we going to do this year? And it always is a kind of a letdown. There's just, it's either you don't have a date or just the people aren't there at the party. It's not fun. This was because of that story. About 13 years ago, my best friend came to me and she's like, so, you know how we always have these big plans for New Year's, but it never really kind of works out? And I'm thinking she's going to say, let's go to New Orleans or do something amazing. Ooh. And she says, what if you were the maid of honor in my wedding?
Oh, my God.
And I was like, just like totally caught me off guard. And wonderful ending to this story. She and her husband are now still married 13 years later. But at the time, it was kind of a quick thing. And so I think my mouth hit the floor. And I don't think that was the reaction she was looking for.
Right.
But I was just so surprised. But yes, being in my best friend's wedding on New Year's Eve was quite fantastic.
Well, how about that? It's, you know, good for them and congratulations to them. But having a wedding on a big night like that is such an imposition.
See, I went to that New Year's Eve wedding and it actually ended up being totally cool. And we were all friends anyways. So it was mostly all us anyway.
Right. I think her only regret is that her husband is a musician and he's always playing a show on their anniversary.
That'll do it.
But the wedding was fun.
What about you, Beardy? What was your best New Year's Eve ever?
I think I want to say even last year. Was one of the highlights. We went to my wife and I went to the Avitz at the Coliseum.
Oh, yeah.
And that was so much fun. And the best was, too, is I was extremely responsible. And so I was able to safely drive. So I didn't even have to use a cab. It was fantastic. But it's
And you remembered it.
Yeah, it was crazy. I didn't get sleepy. I didn't miss any of the show. And then the other part of that was, they did a balloon drop and they had balloons of various sizes. And there was a couple that were massive, massive balloons. And so my wife got one and it was in our house until just recently, just sitting there. Yeah. She had tucked it up in the corner and it would slowly, you know, lose a little bit here and there. And finally the Avit balloon had seen its time, but that was super fun. That was a really good show. And I love that.
Good for you. That's awesome. I can't think of a great one.
Not at all?
Nah.
Not even the pants ripping story? Because I think that's pretty neat.
No, that was awful. That was
it was memorable.
Night.
It was not happy.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. Because a lot of times we would end up, it's the same thing. Like, you would end up, like, I don't generally stay at the bar till midnight anyway. So it was always, and I've always said that after 11 o'clock, nothing good happens.
I got one.
Okay.
I was at this place in Raleigh that's not there anymore. It was called Mountain Jack's, which was a prime rib restaurant, and it was great. And my friend was the bartender. And when they closed that place down, he gave me a pair of snowshoes that were on the wall there, and I still have them. 1,800 snowshoes.
Oh, wow.
They're really?
Banging. They're so cool. They're made out of some kind of animal skin and sinew. It's just amazing. And I used to have them hanging up in the house, and then they fell down one time, and I thought that was a bad omen, so I put them in the garage. But I still have them. Anyway, Bert, I was
another. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Another New Year's Eve that is quite memorable was when we were in high school, and we were going to leave one party and try to get to this other party by midnight. But then a different best friend was had a little too much to drink, and we had to pull over on the side of the road. So she was throwing up French fries at midnight.
Happy New Year!
Oh, yay!
Okay, so my story was, we were at Mountain Jack's, and everybody's having a good time. This was really a fun party, actually. I'd forgotten about this. And my friend John was a bartender, and it was getting to be close to midnight, and they didn't have Dick Clark on the TV, and everybody knew it was getting to be close to midnight, and so I'm like, dude, we got to put the ball drop on. And so he handed me the remote at the bar. And so I start flipping channels until I get to a ball drop. And I stop and I go, here it is. And we start counting down and hooting and hollering. And the ball drops and we're all hugging and kissing and Happy New Year. And then after the dust settles, we look up and we watch the ball drop on QVC. That was awesome.
And just by watching, you got some real nice pants.
I got some
beautiful
really
cubic zirconias.
Awesome jewelry, yeah.
I did one where I got stuck on the side of the road in New Hampshire where I was coming home from work and it was a real bad ice storm and no one could make it up this one hill. And so we all had to sit there on New Year's Eve waiting for the sand truck to come. That was super nice. And then when I got to the party, I was the sober guy at the party.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Not
that
having
was
any fun.
Disasters.
So there was another one. There was this Spanish place we used to go to in D.C., and it got to be around midnight, and nobody really knew. And so I was like, all right, 10. 9. And so we just made it up. And then we said, Happy New Year. And then a little while later, we did it again. So that was another. So there's two that were decent. So
yeah,
that's all right.
I like when all the people in the room get their countdown off sync. So it's like 10, 10, 9, 9, 9, 9,
7.
8,
all right,
4.
Everybody, shut the hell up. We're going to start over. This year can't start till you guys get it right.
10. Wait. Are we going on 3 or on 10? Wait, what?
So I have a really serious question, and I don't know if anybody can answer it.
What is it?
There's these, and I feel for them, but I know that some people make a choice because I've heard people be vocal about this, that they choose to be homeless. We have homeless camps near where our offices are, and we have this group. It's like a syndicate of homeless people that hold signs at the corner, and then they live nearby in tents. And when even the ones that don't live there, they sit in chairs that they've gotten from the hotels that are nearby. Mm-hmm. And where they sit and where they live in the tents, you cannot believe the tonnage of garbage, just the trash that's all around there. And you don't live anywhere. You're homeless.
Yeah.
So by virtue of being homeless, you can't have much stuff. So how do you produce so much garbage that I don't see how you could get out of your tent because you're so
also
covered up in garbage?
Like, hopefully I never, ever, ever have to figure this out. But I feel like I would still put trash where it belongs and like kind of keep my knapsack and tiny little pup tent neat.
Yes.
You know, I still, even if I'm homeless, I don't want to live in filth.
There was one day, and I remember, and again, like I get a lot of flack when I talk about this, and it's not that I'm insensitive to homelessness. It's just, it's that watching the patterns of a certain group specifically.
Yes, that's it.
It's really like, you know, it makes you jaded to the whole, you know, somebody else's scenario.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But like, for instance, I had to run out to the office the other day, and there was a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy in the wheelchair. And then later that day, first of all, it's a guy that I remember seeing. He's one that works that corner, and I'd seen him not in a wheelchair. And so I was like, oh, well, I wonder, you know, what's up. But then later, another guy was in the wheelchair. And so I'm immediately, all I think is, where did they get the wheelchair? And now they're just using that to play on people's sympathies and good intentions.
Or,
and that drives me crazy.
Maybe they only have one wheelchair and they all need it, but they take turns.
They don't need it. I've seen these guys coming and going. And I have a theory as to where they got the wheelchair, but it's awful.
Oh, yeah. You told me your theory a while ago. No, I feel like it was... And that my first thought was they stole it from somebody.
Nah, I think...
It was a nice wheelchair.
Somebody who had the wheelchair maybe passed away in one of the hotels. And so the hotel threw the wheelchair away. And these guys... got it out of the trash, because that's where they get all their stuff. They get all their chairs and stuff out there.
It's in the trash. It's fair game.
Well, I mean, for instance, there was the one woman, and we talked about it on the air one time. This is a while back, where she was. I was like, oh my god, there's a homeless woman out there who's pregnant.
And then, that's my baby.
Yeah, I know. It's the
she
more
doesn't
attractive
count because she's hot.
Well, yeah.
She's so gorgeous.
But she was pregnant, and then she wasn't pregnant, and then she was pregnant.
Now, wait. Let's be clear for those people listening. When you say she's so gorgeous in relation to other homeless people, she's no Sofia Vergara standing out on the...
No, she kind of is. She's beautiful.
No, she is not.
She's beautiful.
She's actually, she's
she
a lot prettier.
Not.
She is a seven. Is. Across the board, not even
she's don't even know if she has teeth.
She's a homeless
first
10.
Of all.
Yes, I saw her smile. I did see teeth.
Just because she's thin and she has a cute booty and wears yoga pants does not make her smoking hot. What is wrong with you two?
I'm just
she's
saying.
Beautiful.
I think
she's
still is.
Oh, God.
She is an across the board decent seven.
I give up.
I don't think I can save her, though. You know, I don't think there's anything I could do because, you know, she probably loves this life now.
Well, she'd have to come live in your house.
I can't have that.
No. Well, or, I mean, let's be real, she might be just as happy in a tent in your backyard.
I can't have that either.
No, is that still...
What about a tent trash down the street?
She'll have trash all around it. I don't want to pick up after her. It's too late.
All right.
You know, it's gone, man.
Anyway,
I
that's going to be the interesting thing. But yeah, we were talking about that idea of where does all this debris come from?
Yeah,
I had noticed too the chairs on the hill. There's a sitting of chairs up on the hill. I'm like, where are they getting where do they get all this stuff?
It's from the hotels. I keep telling you that.
Oh,
from the trash cans.
Yeah, over at the hotels, everything they throw away at the hotels, they get it.
Well,
which means that they're pretty smart about where they're living right now, because
they get a
lot of stuff.
You have to be smart to live on the streets.
Oh yeah,
you
know? Absolutely.
Having slept on the side of the street,
look,
once
I've slept in a yard
that
or two,
does not count. You cannot relate. Don't even.
I'm relating.
I didn't.
Right? No.
You probably left a lot of trash too. Who left all these pant debris on this fence?
So, have we got time for anything else, or are we out of time?
We're full.
We're at the wall.
All right. Well, don't forget, stock up on Pedialyte, because New Year's Eve is coming, and we hope that it's a great New Year's Eve, and we hope that, you know, you, like us, believe that when the clock strikes midnight and it becomes 21, all of the bad things go away, and the new beginning brings with it so much change and wonderful good things.
And some other beginnings end.
That's right. Hey, look at that.
Look at it go.
Look at that. What's coming out of that end? It's a new beginning. All right. Seriously. Happy New Year. Pick up your trash.
Yes.
Careful with the champagne. And we love you. And with any luck, we'll do some more of these in 21 next time.
Bye-bye.
Have a magical New Year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.